One time, a member of my church came up to me and said, "You know what?" She said, "I have a problem with this concept of love for the Christian." She said, "I don't understand how I can love my enemies." And she said, "Can you help me with that?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go home. I'm going to research the subject of love. And then I'm going to come back and talk to you about your particular question." And in looking through the scriptures, what was interesting is that there are different aspects of love, truly. And there are different categories of love. There are five different aspects, and there are three different categories. And I'd like to just very briefly speak about that. In the Bible, love is spoken in the context of love for God. That's one aspect. Love for one's wife. That's the second aspect. Love for spiritual family members. That's the third aspect. Then love for one's neighbor. That's the fourth aspect. And then finally, love for one's enemies. And I'd like to just say a few words about each type of love. In looking at what the scripture tells us about loving God, all right, it says we have to do it with all of our hearts. Okay? That means all of our, we have to commit our love to God with all of our emotions. It's not just an intellectual love, it's just not a love which is based on something we think is good, it's something to which we dedicate our lives. Okay? And so it says we have to do it with all of our soul, all of our life, all of our strength, which means everything that we do, okay, physically, with all of our mind, which means our intellect, okay, our understanding, our intentions. And this is really a total commitment of love that God requires that we make to Him. Total. There's nothing that's left out of that love. It just encompasses every aspect of our beings and our lives. And then it speaks about love for one's spouse or one's wife, okay? And it says we have to love her, okay, or love him as much as we love ourselves, okay? Well, if we're a Christian, then we have a healthy love for ourselves and we will have a healthy love for our wives, right? And then it says to love your wife as much as your own body, okay? It means that physically, okay, you have to have an expression of love for your wife. And then it says we have to love with honor, okay? That means that we have to care for our spouse, okay? We have to anticipate the needs, we have to take care of the needs, we have to basically put her needs or his needs above our own personal needs. And this also is a full, you know, commitment of love. Okay? Basically, it says, you know, love her with everything you got. Okay, love him with everything you have. Okay, so these two loves, love for God, which is on a spiritual plane, and love for one's spouse, are total commitments of love and that God expects us to give. And then there's the love for our spiritual family, okay, that the scripture speaks about. And Jesus gave his followers a new commandment. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, you love one another as I have loved you, so you should also love one another." Okay? And so this also is a statement of how much we should love our spiritual family members, brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? We must love each other as he loved us. And of course we know that his love was also very, very broad in the sense that he gave his life for us. And in a practical sense, this has worked out very much in some communist countries where people have been asked to basically betray or to give reports on their fellow Christian members, and they've refused to do that. And as a result, they've had to suffer death, okay, because they wouldn't do what they were asking them to do, which would have been detrimental to their brothers or sisters. And then actually it says that the evidence of this love, okay, that we have one for another, will do have a side effect. And the side effect that it'll have is it'll be a testimony to others of what God has done in his children, okay, in terms of them having this loving relationship one with another. And of course, this is basically kind of like a conditional commitment of love, in the sense that basically it's a little bit more restrictive than the other two categories of love, but still it's a love that we need to exercise in our relationships in the church. And then there's a love for our neighbor. And basically this is a different love. It's not this emotional commitment. It's not this total commitment. It's basically something that says that we can't do anything that might harm our neighbor. Okay, so it's basically a love that expresses itself in wishing well for our neighbor. And of course, this means that we cannot do a lot of things that this world does. We can't commit adultery, we can't kill, we can't steal, and we can't do that anyway as Christians, okay? But it says don't even let that be a temptation that you might have with your neighbor because of the fact that you think that he has something more than you have, something better than you have, okay? Don't even entertain those kind of thoughts. And it also says we can't really even say anything falsely against our neighbor. And of course, we can't desire anything that belongs to him but doesn't belong to us. And then the question is, who's my neighbor? Okay? Is that the guy who lives next door to me or lives in an apartment next to me? No, it's more than that. Okay? It's any person that crosses paths with us on our life's path. Anyone. Okay? And of course, there's a wonderful example that Christ gave of that precise condition. All right? Where two people crossed paths, they didn't know each other, but he did take care of the needs of the person that he met who needed help. And this is a behavioral love, okay? It tells us how to behave, okay? It tells us that we have to basically honor our neighbor as ourselves. And then this love for our enemies, kind of hard to emotionally commit to, but basically it says, the scripture says that we have to do good to them, okay, to our enemies, okay. And what that basically means is that we can't pay them back for their evil works. We can't do things to them to basically get back at them, okay. We can't. We really have to basically say, well, the Lord is the judge. The Lord will repay, okay? I have to reflect the characteristic of God, and the characteristic of God is that he wants everybody to be saved, okay? So I want to show him my good relationships in spite of his bad behavior so that he might think about his need in God through my example. And it's basically defined in a little more detail. It says if he's hungry, we should feed him, okay? Don't let him starve to death, okay? If you have the ability to feed him. If he's thirsty, okay, again, give him to drink, okay? Don't hold back life's necessities, which basically put his life in jeopardy if you can supply them, okay? And that's doing good. And he says if they curse you, okay, bless them. And of course, this is not to bless them in their direction of their curse, but this is to basically say, Lord Jesus, this man really needs you. And my prayer to you is put something in his life's path that will make him stop and think of his need in salvation. And then he says if they persecute you, yeah, you have to pray for them, okay? It's the other thing. So basically, again, you don't repay people for their evil deeds. What you do is you entreat God, okay, that God might touch their hearts and change their hearts. And at the same time, you want to show them that God, in all of his goodness, all right, has actually implemented his goodness in your life. And this, of course, is, again, behavioral love. So behavioral love is for the neighbor. Behavioral love is for one's enemies, okay? Total commitment of love is for God and for one's spouse. And the conditional commitment is love for the spiritual family members. And may God help us that we might exercise all these aspects of love and thereby be the example to this world that the Lord wants us to be. Amen.